everyone. Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm Nicole Kamanjian. I'm here with Cody Richard and the host of this show, Jeff Rappaport. This is episode 268.
All right, here we are back again. This is the third part of this deal. And what we're doing is we're having Nicole kind of break down this lead into some different kinds of offers. So far we've put together, actually this is the second part, isn't it? Because we did a cash offer and a short-term finance offer. And now we're going to see, is there a way for us to put together a longer-term offer? So Nicole, quick review. We've got this two bed, one bath. It's in pretty good condition. They want $42,000 for it. The value is about $100. It would rent for $1,000 to $1,100, and they kind of want to keep any kind of owner finance to 5 years or less. So, oh, thank you. Yes, I do. There's everything we just talked about, and we have a cash offer of around 34, so not too much off of where they were asking. And then a purchase price of 40 grand for 18 months. But we could have even come in less than that. We could have come in, you know, 6-8 months if this was going to be more of a flip. And so let's see, what can we come up with for a third offer? So, Nicole, where do you want to be price-wise?
So for this offer, I guess we should start with the exit strategy.
Okay.
It would probably be best for either a landlord or a owner-occupant. And since that's the case...
Okay. So we want to look at possible exit strategies. And that would be landlord. And when we say landlord, either you being the landlord or wholesaling to a landlord, and owner-occupant being... We'll either wholesale to an owner-occupant or stay in the middle. By become the bank, create terms with the owner, and then create different terms to the buyer. Okay?
And so...
What's the next step?
Since that's our exit, we want to calculate the NOI. So we need to know the expenses... Okay.
Let's put the income at 12,000. Actually, let's put it at 13,200 times 0.9. That'll equal some vacancy.
And that 13,200 is from what it could rent for once it's ready to go. Looks like it's 1,100 in that range.
Yeah, and you know, when we do our due diligence, if we first of all, from what we were told, the property's in pretty good shape. It doesn't need a whole lot. And if that is the case, then we should be able to get between 1,000 and 1,100 as is. If it needs a little more, then we'll either renegotiate some of what our offer is, or we'll start to look at our numbers a little differently. So would you feel more comfortable doing it at the lower amount, Cody?
No, I think it makes sense here. If this is where our range is at, I think it's fine to put it here.
Okay. All right. So what do we know expense-wise? We know that taxes are about $1,000 a year. What else do we need to know, Nicole?
Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Utilities.
What do you think? How much do you think insurance will run? And I know it's purely a guess.
Would like $50 be a fair price on that?
What do you think, Cody?
I'd say closer to $70-$75 per month.
Okay, so like, you want to say like $850 per year?
Yeah, I think that's a fair estimate, especially since it's such a low-value property.
It's hard to really know what the insurance will run, but
yeah,
I think that's a good guess. What else, Nicole? What else do we need?
Utilities.
Utilities.
I mean, I guess most of those would be passed on to a tenant, but if it's a owner-occupant, like, they would need to know.
Well, the owner-occupant would pay for them all, right?
Yeah.
So the landlord would pay very little. And so let's say that, you know, the utilities are going to be some form of water, sewer, garbage. Okay. So let's call it $900, $75 a month. Okay. What else do we need to add?
Maintenance.
Again, owner-occupant would be responsible for the maintenance, right? Landlord may or may not be. What is maintenance going to be?
Like landscaping, if it has a pool, which I don't think it does.
Yeah. This is a small house. I don't remember what the lot size was on it, but let's say...
0.22.
Was it 0.22? Okay. Yep. So let's say there is some landscaping. How do you want to deal with this? Do you want to put something down for it, or do we want to kind of push it to the buyer?
I guess, since it's like such a small house, we could just push it to the buyer. I can't imagine that it would be like that much money.
Yeah, I don't. Well, here's where the maintenance kind of adds up in a hurry is, depending on where the house is, you know, that you may have lawn care, you know, like weekly lawn care, which may run, you know, $35, $50, $60, and it's done four times a month, and, you know, all of a sudden it's $225 or something, and maybe there's 6 months out of the year where landscaping needs to be done, and, you know, all of a sudden we're up to, like, $1,500, and... So, but that's snow removal is a little more like, you know, if you're in Illinois or somewhere where snow can be really constant and bad, then you better take into account some kind of snow removal. And then there's pest control, you know, primarily. I mean, there'd be pool maintenance. If this was in Florida and had a pool, you'd want to figure out who's going to be responsible for that. But I think we're okay not including this right now. So, are there any other?
Well, I know we don't calculate repairs in the NOI, but repairs is an expense.
Repairs are part of the NOI.
Oh, I thought it was excluded.
Mm-mm. And again, you know, if our exit strategy is to an owner-occupant, we're not going to need it. It's just to the landlord. This is really more geared toward, you know, are we going to be able to either buy this and hold it ourselves, mm-hmm. or are we going to be open to wholesaling it to a landlord? On something like this, depending on how old and what kind of condition, you know, it's built in 1948. I would say a good repair cost is somewhere between 3 to 5% of the gross rents. So,
I think the cash offer or the short term offer, we said something like 20. Was it 20, Cody, or 25? I can't remember.
So I think you guys are talking about different repairs. I think you're talking about the upfront repair costs, and I think Jeff's talking about the month-to-month repairs, or like setting money aside for fixing up the kitchen or if the water heater goes out.
Yeah, exactly. So again, it won't apply. The owner-occupant will be responsible. The landlord would be responsible, you know, on repairs. So it's sometimes a little difficult to distinguish between these two potential exit strategies. It really, the NOI is not necessarily applying as much toward the owner-occupant as it would the landlord. So maybe that'll clear this up, but why don't we put $400 for the year for repairs? Anything else you can think of? There's really only two more that I would even... contemplate. Go ahead, Cody.
I was going to say, I always thought repairs were closer to, I usually do like 10% of the income, of the monthly income, as far as monthly repairs go.
No, I don't. Again, it might be if this was built in 1900 and it's going to have constant repair costs. But, you know, this is a low price range home that, depending on the actual condition, that, hey, if it's in pretty good condition to begin with, you know, now if the plumbing, you know, we find out the plumbing, what if we found out the electrical's knob and tube, or the plumbing is old cast iron or something, then that could make a difference. But, you know, and if you felt more comfortable, I don't think I would put this at like $1,000 a month or $1,000 a year, but you could put it at, let's say, $600. Would that be better? This is
your guys' deal. Yeah, I think it'd be a bit more comfortable for me.
Okay. $600, all right, or do you have another number in mind?
That's good with me, $600.
Okay. All right. And then we probably should deal with some kind of management, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, usually I do 10% of the income.
And now really the one that we've got to decide on is CapEx, any kind of reserves.
Well, those are usually like 3 to 5% of the gross rents, right?
Sure. Something in that range, I would say, would be fair. Should we just put 600?
Sure.
So what do we got here? 5,050, I think.
Yep. That's what I got too.
Yep.
Okay. And, the NOI would be just under 7, 30. Right? 6830, thank you.
Yep.
Which isn't a lot, right? Because if you divide this by 12, what do you got?
About 570, a little under 570.
570 per month. Not a lot to work with here. So what do you want to do with this? Well, first of all, could... being such a small rental, I mean, we could probably wipe out management and CapEx, right? I mean, they're probably not going to go too much into, if you were going to buy it and hold it, I would still include it, whether you use them or not. But if you were going to wholesale this, maybe you could get away without it. But what is that going to, it's going to give you another $140 maybe a month, something like that. Mm-hmm. So it'd be up to like, let's say $700. So could it work for a landlord? It could, just because this is so low priced, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's a little tight.
Yeah. So maybe it's more of a situation where we stay in the middle. Or if there's even room for that?
There's definitely room for it. I still think you could make this work. Let's say that the NOI is $700 a month. So let's just play with some numbers. Let's see what happens. And you know, there's not lots of money in this. But hey, Cody, let me ask you this question. And yeah, just be honest, yes or no, whether it would work. But if you could buy this property, right, a property for, let's say, $60,000 or something with little to no money out of your pocket, and you can make a $300 a month cash flow from it, and you have really decent terms, Is it something that you would consider if it wasn't, you know, in a terrible area, or is that something that at least you would think about?
Yeah, definitely something I'd look at more into.
It's not, this isn't like a home run kind of deal, right? Like, there's not going to be massive cash flow or anything, but I think it could work. So I don't know that you need to necessarily worry right now, Nicole, about which exit strategy could still present itself. I think that the goal is going to be the same, which is, can we get into this light? Can we create the payment that will make sense for the seller, that will still leave enough for us, for a landlord, or even to put an owner-occupant in the property? So why don't we, instead of trying to figure out if this really will work, why don't we play with some numbers and see what happens?
Okay.
So your last offer, remember, was 40. Okay. And that was short term. This isn't going to be long term, because remember, they really don't want to go more than 5 years. And by doing that, that almost creates a problem with the owner-occupant exit strategy. So it's going to create more issues maybe than what they're worth, dealing with Dodd-Frank and SAFAC kind of rules with really, you know, like a 3 year term or 3.5 year term. So we may have to look at this strictly as what would it make sense as a rental.
Yeah.
Or offer them a longer term and see what happens, right? Which we are allowed to do. So let's start with a number. What do you think? Purchase price.
This is where I struggle, because you always say pick a number, but I feel like there's more than just, there's a little more thought that goes into just picking a number.
Well, let's... How about this? Let's pick Cody's brain on this. Cody, if you were putting together this LOI, okay, how do you determine where to go from? Where to go now that you have a cash offer and maybe a short-term finance offer? Where do you go from here? What would be your, what would direct you, guide you?
Yeah, so my goal or thought process with this one is to make it different enough from the other two that it has some different value to it, so that the seller would be willing to accept it. And then if they do accept it, make sure it still works for me.
Yep.
I wouldn't want to go, if I had to pick a number, I'd probably say 46, and maybe even a little bit lower. But my issue with that is that short-term financing offer.
So well,
in my head right now, that may not even be worth making.
That's exactly, just because we wrote it down and it could work doesn't mean that we have to make it, right? So ultimately, we're going to compare all of our offers to one another, because, hey, there may not make any sense to have four. Maybe it only makes sense to have two or three. So to me, it's like, could we offer like 50 grand here? We could, right? Could we offer maybe even 55,000 here? I think we probably could, but they're asking they're asking 42, right? How much over that do we really want to get? And would we rather have 18 months or whatever we're going to create here? And we'll figure that out once we create this offer. So does that help, Nicole?
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think that's where you're having an issue, is like, okay, you know, now what? Where do I go now?
Yeah.
And yeah, I wouldn't want you to offer, you know, $85,000 on this house. There's no reason to. They're not asking anywhere near that. And we can offer them more. But we don't want to get too crazy here.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
Okay. So what kind of down payment are we looking at putting down?
Well,
this is where this gets really difficult, right? Because this is such a small amount that, you know, 5%, which is where we like to be, 3%, 4%, 6% is like no money.
Yeah, and they're behind $1,000.
That's right. They're behind $1,000 in taxes, and someone's got to pay some closing costs. So.
I mean, can the down payments be the same?
They can, first of all, they can be whatever we want them to be, but it should still make sense that, you know, if we're offering 46 and we're offering 40, we're offering the down payment of the same, and what's the payment going to be? Is it going to be very different? Well, I can tell you already, it's not going to be very different.
Right.
And so what sets the two apart? One's for 18 months, one's for whatever this one's going to be. Now, how much more money do they get for staying in it? Do they... can they stay in it longer to get more money? Is it going to be worth their while? I don't know. That's why we'll say, we'll put this together. We'll keep all the offers in mind. And then we kind of compare them so that we see, is one more, are a couple of them too similar? If so, then maybe we don't need to make all four offers, or we need to modify something. The issue with this particular property is, it's a good price and the rents are pretty good, but when you, after you look at your NOI, there's just not that much money left, right? So if we're talking about $700, if we split it in half, and that's with, hey, Mr. Landlord, you got to manage this yourself. And, you know, don't worry about any reserves because you have no budget for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the most money we can pay the seller is $350. So it's $50 more than what we've already offered. That's going to be the absolute most. And that only means that, hey, Mr. Landlord, you could make potentially $350, but if they calculate in these other things, they probably don't even have a cash flow.
Right.
So, or it's not very much. So,
and the term can't go for too long because they're only willing to stay in it for 5 years. And
yeah, the term doesn't really matter as much on something this cheap because, I mean, what's going to happen at the end of the term? We either sell it, someone's going to refinance it, or you cash it out. We already know that we have plenty of equity in it, so that's not an issue. And, you know, but what's your payment going to be if it's $40,000, $35,000,
$30,000?
It's not the harder part is, where are you going to get financing on this? So,
yeah. It's a credit card, Jeff.
Right. It might be.
Because it's so, like, I mean, I'm sure there's credit limits out there that could probably cut it.
There certainly are, but I don't know if someone that can afford to live in this house has a $25,000-$30,000 credit limit, right?
Yeah.
There may not be the norm. It may be more the exception. So, you tell me, what do you think would work here? Keeping in mind that, hey, if we're buying this as a landlord, we're wholesaling this as a landlord. Would we be okay with the amount of money that we're offering here, right? Because if I offer $3,000 to the seller, how much can I really add on as a wholesale fee where I can make some money? This might not have been the best example, but these are real life examples. And depending on what market you're in, if I remember right, this is in Michigan, and so it may make more sense to maybe just try to get it at the best cash price and, you know, wholesale it or renovate it and sell it. But there's other ways that we can deal with this. I just don't know if they're going to be as profitable.
So what if it was 5,500? Is that, I mean, we don't really have much room.
No, we do not. Okay. So are we going to offer interest or what are we going to do here?
We can try doing maybe like a high.
Let's see. What did we do up here? So we offered 300. It looks like principal only, right? So we probably need to, and when we're getting into these really, you know, if I put in 4% right now, the payment would be super low over 30 years. Mm-hmm. This might be more of like, hey, we're going to amortize it over 10 years. So
it'd be like a hybrid?
No. Let's do this just to keep, no, it doesn't matter. So if we were going to just throw out some numbers, so 40,500 is what we need to get financed mm-hmm. here. And we did 4% over a 30-year term. The payment is $193. Okay. Could we offer something like that? Sure. You could probably even make it 4.25 is 200, 4.5 is 205. You see, the numbers are not going up a whole lot.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe you do that. Maybe you offer a higher interest rate and you're not going to get lots of principal pay down, but mm-hmm. You know, the payment's lower and you get better cash flow. Mm-hmm. So, but what if
in
now
this situation, you don't really need the principal pay down.
Right.
Just because you're getting it so cheap.
That's right. So what if we did 15 year? So we still have 40,500 at 4%, 180 months. The payment now is 300. So we don't want to go over that because that would be that payment. So we'd probably want to amortize it over somewhere between 20 and 30 years
mm-hmm.
and probably no more than 4%. Like I said, we can do whatever. We're trying to figure out what might work here.
I would just maybe try it at 3%.
3% amortized over how long?
Let's try it over, I guess, 20 years.
20 years would be 224.
I don't know if that payment is too, I mean, we don't necessarily want to go over 300, but is it too far apart from the other offer? Like, would that be enticing to get 224?
I don't know. Right now,
yeah,
you know,
in my head, down payment would be. Okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say in my head that short-term offer is not a factor for me. The odds are we're probably going to get rid of it because the numbers don't make enough sense to be able to do this offer on top of that short-term financing offer.
I would agree.
But I think you can take that out of the decision-making process on this one.
Okay.
Yep. I'm with you is that if I was going to do that, maybe I don't really see the need for it. It's such a cheap property to begin with. And you definitely don't need 18 months either with it. So, okay. So let's say that one doesn't exist. So right now you have a cash offer of around 34.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would want this next one to at least have like a $300 payment, I think.
Well, but we're not on the next one.
Well,
we're on this one.
This one that we're working on. And why? Well, actually, we have one more offer that we need to
There is none. None of them have a payment yet. So.
Okay.
How long of a term is this going to be?
If we're making one more offer after this one, or creating one more offer after this one, maybe this one should be 3 years. And we're basically trash canning the other short-term offer and just only having the cash offer.
So the payment, the balloon, would be $35,859.
Hmm.
Okay. So there's still some pay down. I'm actually surprised how much. Let's think about something really quick. So, but we know $35,000, if this property is worth $100,000, that, you know, we have no issues where the balloon payment is. But let's say that, hey, what's going to happen if we want to keep this and we want to refinance, you know, the $35,859 at, who knows what the rate could be. Let's say it's at 8.5%. But we could amortize it over 30 years. Still, the payment will be $275. Would that still make sense? Yeah, it still makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're good with this payment, we're probably okay with a $50 a month higher payment, worst case scenario. So, but you're right. Now, if we compared the short term to this one, you know, where we're offering $40,000, five down, $300 a month principal only payments, could we have offered $300 a month principal only payments here? Mm-hmm. Or could we potentially offer it on the next offer? Yeah. It really depends on what do you think is going to be the most important thing to both the seller. So with these options, we're already paying them more than what they would get. The seller would net $224 times 36 plus $35,859 plus $5,500. They would net $49,423 for 3 years. Now that's $7,200 more than what they thought they were going to get. Now, granted, getting $224 a month is not super exciting, but it's not a high price kind of property. And if they don't want to go that route, then that's why we made the offer around 34, is we can get it cheap. Go ahead, Cody. What were you thinking?
Yeah, for all we know, they don't care at all about the payment. I mean, we're $4,000 above their asking price. They're getting more money out of the property. Like, we're paying them interest for it over time. So they may not care that it's $224. They may not care if it was $150.
Well, so look, in the balloon, like this,
we don't want to push it up too high.
Yeah, and the balloon payment is more in 3 years than what the cash offer is now. So they're actually getting more waiting, plus the money up front and, you know, the money monthly. So, let's think about this, and then we're going to wrap up this episode. We'll try to figure out if we can make one more offer on this property. But what do we do with this? If this gets accepted as is, right? What do we do with this? How can we monetize it? There's a number of ways. Yeah. Could we wholesale it?
We definitely could.
Could we retail it? And when I say wholesale it, just put it on the MLS, right? For $85,000, $90,000 and see what you get. And, we'll be done, right? We'll be completely done with it. In which case, maybe you can go back and say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I think I'm going to come into some money. I could pay you off early. What are you willing to take if I could pay you off in 90 days as opposed to 3 years. And so maybe you can get a discount on this to begin with. But it only costs you $5,500 and, you know, $224 a month to, you know, own it, put it on the market, and see what kind of profit you can get. We could go in and make it all nice and retail it, right? We could certainly do that. If we wholesaled it, we could wholesale it. This isn't really the one that we could still probably wholesale it to a rehabber, but we're not going to make much money that way. And we could probably wholesale it to a landlord. How much money do you think we could make?
$10,000 to $15,000, if I had to guess.
15 might push it on this one, but I think you could make 10. Even if you're asking 15 down, which I know is more than 10%, 20%, but on this type of property, those rules aren't necessarily what's going to govern everything. So someone can pick up a cash flowing property, let's say $300 a month, $3,600, and you had to come up with $15,000, you know, your cash on cash return is 24%. That's pretty good. So these are the things that we're doing. So when Nicole, just to quickly summarize this, and then we'll move on, that we had another offer, right? And you struggled because you were like, how do I make it any different? And the goal is, hey, sometimes you can't. And so now we create this. Now, I still might say, maybe, depending on what our fourth offer is, if we have one, maybe we get rid of this one and we offer them a 5-year and we have a shorter term one, right? So I don't know. And so we're putting them down so that we can kind of look at the whole picture. Do they all make sense? Do they make sense? Like, you know, does the one that I'm saying, hey, I'll give you all your money in 6 months, does it make sense for them to look at staying in it for 3 or 5 years? Do they make enough more to do so? Do I have an exit strategy for all of them? Maybe my exit strategies get worse, so maybe I don't really want to present those offers right away. I want to see where I can be, right? So, because otherwise, hey, if it makes more sense, let's just make them a cash offer and see where we can get to. And okay, cash won't work. I can pay you more, but you got to wait on your money. Mm-hmm. So maybe I just say, here, I can pay you $34,000. No, I can't take that. Okay, what's the least you could take? $42,000. That's the least I will take. All right, then why don't you give me a little bit, and I'm going to put together some other offers for you, which would make more sense at that 42 range or thereabouts, but I can't pay 42 in cash. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cody, you want to add anything, and we'll wrap this up?
No, nothing else. I think this was helpful.
Good. All right, so we're going to play around. We're going to see if we can come up with one more offer and how it may be different or not. And then we'll have dealt with this one example in pretty much every way I think we can. So stay tuned, check us out next time, go out and create some terms.